Good morning. Today's Dafin Ksuvos is Dalet. We're in Gimel Amud Beis. We are starting about 8-9 lines from the bottom of the Amud. And we're starting with the words of Vishenu Lo Yichnos, don't get married on Monday. Yesterday, we went through a Braisa with a slightly longer elaboration regarding the days of the week in which a woman should get married. A woman should get married on Wednesday. So this is already now the third day of the Masechta. And the reason why a woman gets married on Wednesday is clear. The Mishnah, the Gemara, extraordinarily articulate regarding why specifically Wednesday. Basing convenes on Monday and Thursday. And so Thursday, in the event that there needs to be any kind of litigation, so they're ready. So Wednesday the chasna, and Thursday's the court date. And as we already commented a couple of times, not exactly the most romantic setup, but in the event that there needs to be there needs to be litigation, so they're ready for Thursday. So why not get married on Sunday? So shaktu. So the Gemara says that there's a takana de rabbanan, rabbinic legislation institution, that there should be 3 days of preparation for the wedding. Shabbos obviously is going to be a significant impediment in terms of preparing for the chasna. So Sunday is going to be out of the question. I know the Gemara kind of shuffled along yesterday when the Gemara said, okay, nowadays that way Beis Din gets together every day, so they can get married to any day of the week. There is no limitation in terms of when they can get married. The Gemara says, what about Sunday? The Gemara says they prepared on Friday. I don't know. It was a strange point in yesterday's daf where the Gemara just kind of sidestepped the 3 day preparation issue. But anyway, there's a takana to prepare for 3 days. Good. And then on yesterday's daf, as we turn from the Amud Beis, from the Amud Alf to the Amud Beis, so we saw Bryce on the top of the Amud. The Bryce on the top of the Amud, once again, presented this information another time. And that is that women get married on Wednesday. The Bryce presented two other pieces of information. One we explained yesterday and one we're about to explain right now. And that is that under certain circumstances, there were dire circumstances where the custom was to push the wedding from Wednesday to Tuesday. So yesterday we went through the Gemara in terms of what those dire circumstances were. The language that was used in the Braisa is that it was because of a sakana, right? The sakana ve'elech na'guam lechnos b'shlishi. So because of sakana, so therefore it got moved to Tuesday, and yesterday we explained exactly what that sakana was. All right. Now we're up to the next line of the Braisa. The Braisa says that because of ones, I want to read the line of the Braisa, v'sheni lo yichnos v'imach masa ones mutter. Now on Sheni, on Monday, you should not get married, but if it's because of ones, so you can get married on Monday. So obviously, this part of the Braisa needs clarification. Meaning that what we've now come to learn together in the Braisa is that for sakana, you can move the wedding up from Wednesday to Tuesday. If it's because of ones, you can move the wedding up even earlier to even Monday. Okay, the obvious questions. Sakana, ones, these are vague terms. So they need clarification, so that's what we're going to do right now. Again, yesterday's daf, we went through exactly what sakana was. Now we're going to try to explain what ones is. Uvisheni lo yichnos v'yamach mas ones mutter. So in the Gemara on Gimel Amud Beis, about 9 lines from the bottom of the Amud, we're picking it up. So on Monday you cannot marry, but if it's because of ones, so then mutter, my ones. So what does that mean? Now ones, of course we know what the word means. The word is a reference to something which was circumstances beyond our control. But what, good, that's still a very vague term. What does that mean? So ilema hadamar nasim karelesa kanavach karele ones. So the Gemara says, well, maybe what it means is what we said above. Meaning, remember, above we talked about moving the weddings from Wednesday to Tuesday, because unfortunately the hegemon would come in and he would want to be with the wife before the husband's with the wife, and like we discussed in yesterday's daf. And maybe he's ready to come in on Tuesday, and therefore we're going to bump it up to Monday. So the Gemara says, no, I that can't be pshat in the Braisa. Why? Because different words are being used. When describing moving from Wednesday to Tuesday, the word that was used is sakana. When describing going up, bumping it up to Monday, the word that's used is being ones. It's two different words. We can't be describing the same situation. V'su ha'asam na'go ha'chamutar. And on top of that, again, read the Braisa carefully. The Braisa is not telling us clearly, but certainly giving us really good hints that there are different circumstances. When moving the wedding from Wednesday to Tuesday, nahagu, they had a custom to do so. And if you remember yesterday's daf, we explained why that really strange word of nahagu. Masha'en came over here when we're talking about moving it to Monday, mutter, it's permitted. So clearly we're talking about something else. Okay, so Now that we know that what we're not talking about the hegmon and there's some other circumstance. Okay, so what are we talking about? Gemara is going to present two possibilities. Amar Rava, the Amrei Sarzva Balayir. So Rava says that what's happening is as follows. So we get good reporting, that what's happening is that the army's coming to town. Okay, not to do battle against us, but in other words, they're going to require housing and hospitality. Okay, what's the term? There's a better term to describe it. Quartering?
Quartering.
Thank you. Okay. So anyway, the army's coming to town, and they're expecting people to house them. And so what's going to happen now is that if we prepare the wedding for Wednesday, the army's going to eat us out of all of our foods. In other words, we're just simply not going to have anything to make the chasna with. So we're going to bump it up. Okay, so right now the plan is they're coming on Wednesday, and so we're going to bump it up. The obvious question, which the Gemara is about to entertain, is if we know the army's coming on Wednesday, so bump it up to Tuesday. Okay, hechidami. Gemara engages in that discussion right now. So the Gemara says, well, first of all, give me a little more detail regarding what exactly the army is doing. Are they passing through town? Okay, so why don't we just postpone the wedding until after they leave? So the Gemara says, "Lachicha dasi v'kava." So the Gemara says, "Okay, they're not planning on passing through, meaning it for the foreseeable future, the army's going to be staying here. So the army's coming on Wednesday, and right now, no return ticket, meaning they seem to be here for some time now. Okay, so now, yes, it's true, there is a minug, an established minug that women get married on Wednesday, but right now, if we do it on Wednesday, we're not going to have a wedding, so we're going to bump it up and we're going to move it to Monday." So the Gemara says, "Begimel mi alechnos." So the Gemara says, "Okay, but why bump it up to Monday? If the army, in fact, is coming on Wednesday, bump it up to Tuesday." The Gemara's answer: "Asparva didei begimel kaasu." So the Gemara says, "Yeah, but the scouts are coming on Tuesday. If the army's coming on Wednesday, the scouts are coming on Tuesday, and so therefore, in order to avoid any problems whatsoever, we bump it up to Monday." Okay, a whole bunch of circumstantial events that occurred, most of which we're just simply unfamiliar with. But the point of all this is that if we're running into an event where circumstances beyond our control, if we run the wedding on Wednesday, we're simply going to have nothing to make the wedding with. We're not going to have any food. So therefore, we could bump it up. That's the basic point. And because of the specific circumstances where it's an army that plans on staying and they're coming on Wednesday and the scouts are coming on Tuesday, so therefore, it affords us the right and not just a right, meaning it's mutter, it's hetel lagamrei, totally permissible to move it up to Monday. All right, e by yisema. Alternatively, the Gemara now is going to be giving a second shot in the Braisa. Braisa says because of ones, so therefore you can move the wedding up to Monday. What are we talking about? E by yisema, my machmas ones kedetanya. So maybe what we could do is that we could explain the Braisa using another Braisa. And this Braisa over here, hare shaya pito afoi v'tivcha tavoach, v'yena mazog. So everything is prepared. All the food is prepared for the chasna. And when we say prepared, we mean irreversibly prepared, right? Once you cook meat, that's it. In other words, right, they did not have refrigeration back in the good old days. And so once the meat is cooked, that's it. You got to eat it, or alternatively, you're going to lose it. Additional to that, same thing with the wine, right? Back in the day, so once the wine was diluted, that's it. You had to be drunk. In other words, prior to the dilution of the wine, so the wine was in this very potent state, kind of like a syrup, and then once you dilute it, so either you drink it or you lose it. So over here, everything now is prepared, and rachmanus, and tragedy occurs. Aviv shel chasan or ima shel kala, and either the father of the chasan or the mother of the kala pass away.
Okay.
Ah, good question. The Gemara's going to ask you a question. Okay, machnisen es ames lecheder v'esachasim v'esakala lechupa. Okay, so here, this is an unbelievably unusual event. Okay, with emotions pulling on every direction. Okay, so right now, in terms of the halacha, what does the halacha want the chasan and kala to do? So here, under these circumstances, and the Gemara, it's going to be most of today's daf, in which we're going to be describing this set of circumstances, like Ben asked a moment ago, why specifically the father of the chasan, why the mother of the kala, everything is going to be discussed over the course of today's daf. And so what does halacha demand that they do? Well, right now, you have two obviously very strong competing pulls, pulling them in two opposite directions. One towards simcha, and the other one's towards avelos. So the one Torah Simcha, in other words, they were planning on having a chasna. And not just planning, meaning, right, everything is pretty much ready. And not only that, but we're talking about irreversible financial loss. Additional to that, somebody just died, and now we have avelos. So pulling at them in two opposite directions is simcha and avelos. So what do you do? And again, all this is much easier said than done, but here's what the halacha would require. And that is, machnis es hameis lecheder. So you take the mace and you put the mace in a cheder, you put it in a room, meaning you do not bury the mace as of yet. Then you take the chasen kala, and you have the chuppah with them. Again, chuppah over here is the term that we're going to be describing time and again to describe the second stage of marriage, nisuin, right? Nisuin, chuppah are pretty much synonymous terms. Okay, something I could have discussed at the beginning of the Masechta, but it's okay. As I said at the beginning of the Masechta, a lot of this information is going to be unrolled over the course of this Masechta. So what exactly is the process of Nisuin? Meaning Kedushin, super clear. The beginning of Kedushin says, how you Mekadosh a woman? So it's a Kinyan, and it's an act of acquisition. And the way it's affected is in one of three ways, the Kesef, Shtar, Ubiya. Okay, it could not be any clearer in terms of it. In fact, in the beginning of Kedusha, we talk about exactly how much money you need, what's the base amount of money, Machlok is Beisham and Beisilol. Anyway, there is unbelievable clarity in terms of how you enter into the first stage of marriage. How do you enter into the second stage of marriage? So here, no clarity. Meaning, all you're going to see in the Gemara time and again is this term chuppah. You know, you go under the canopy. What exactly is happening under the canopy? Well, in just a couple of days from now, we'll talk about Sheva Brachos. Okay, so canopy Sheva Brachos, that's the mechanism of Nisuin? Well, maybe it's Yichud. Maybe it's Bia. In other words, we're never going to really have clarity in terms of what exactly is affecting this second stage of marriage. But just to use the term that the Gemara uses time and again, chuppah. Okay, and I'm recognizing right now, it is a bit of an ambiguous term, not perfectly clear what it means, but still, chuppah is the manner, the mechanism in which they are now entered into the second stage of marriage. So, let's go back to the Gemara. So they take So now, putting the mace right now on hold, not bearing the mace. And this is something which obviously is unusual. In other words, we never delay in the burial. But over here, under these circumstances, there will be a delay of the burial. And then chasen and kala are going to be taken under the chuppah. Ubo b'yilas mitzvah. And then they're going to have the first act of consummation of the marriage. Uporesh. And then they're going to separate. V'noheg shivas yamei ha-mishta. And then afterwards, they're going to have 7 days of mishta. And they're going to have 7 days of avelos. Sure. Now,
I mean, in the past, we have said that avelos was like minhag, whereas aninut is actually a deraita mitzvah.
Right. Okay.
So this guy's an onen, right? So why is he patur from the mitzvah of puruvu, and why is that not being?
No, he's right. In other words, it's the right who died is either the father, the chasan,
right,
or the mother, the kala. Right, so in other words, either the chasen or the kala are an onen. And so what he's pointing out right now is that right now, one of them is in the stage of aninus. And the stage of aninus is the stage in which you're going to be putter from mitzvahs in the Torah.
Actually, forbidden the mitzvahs.
Debatable, but yes. Right, let's see, I'll concede the point. And so why over here are we so bent on pushing the chasna forward? And then afterwards, and tending to the burial afterwards. Okay, I'll try to articulate. Anyway, okay, so we still have a little bit more to go, but let's unpack a lot of what just happened over here. Okay, so everyone have the scenario down. It's actually pretty clear. In other words, we are at the precipice of having the actual chasna, including having all the food prepared, to the point where if we don't go through with it, we're going to look at financial loss. We also have now one of the parents of one of the either chasen or kala who just passed away. And now under these circumstances, what we're going to do is that we're going to go through with the chasna, then have them do bi'ila, and then bury. And then in terms of, we have 2 7-day events. We have, say, you have the Sheva Brachos or Shiva Yemei Mishta, And on top of that, you also have Avelos. Both of those are seven-day events. So what we're going to do is that first we're going to put the Shiva Yimei Mishnah, followed by the Shiva Yimei Avelos. Again, all this is a lot easier said than done. I'm recognizing that. But in terms of what are the halachic, what are the halachic forces at hand over here? So look at Rashi on the bottom of the previous summit. Rashi Aviv Shechasan Yimei Shekala. Dafka Nakar Aviv Shechasan Shehu Atarech Bitzarchei Suda. V'Yimei Shekala Hi HaMechina LaTachshiten. So in terms of parents, in terms of just doing a redo on the wedding, meaning what Rashi is explaining, and we're going to see this together in the Gemara, but it's good to hear this now, is that it has to specifically be these parents because these parents are irreplaceable. Now, every parent is irreplaceable. Okay, so please, I understand. All this is a really difficult conversation, right? There's no such thing as a replaceable parent. But vis-a-vis the wedding, so these two parents are replaceable. As far as the father of the chasen is concerned, so he's the one who is responsible for the wedding. And I know, by the way, this part is a little bit unclear. Financially responsible for the wedding, the one orchestrating the wedding, the party planner, what exactly is his responsibility that the Gemara here speaks about? That does need more clarification. And I'm not going to be super clear about it right now, but this is the Gemara's assumption. And as far as the mother of the kala is concerned, she's the one putting the kala together, right? Putting on makeup and just getting her prepared for the wedding. So, im ya'avor, I'm reading Rashi. Im ya'avor ha'moed. Now, if we lose this opportunity, shuv ein mechin lahem. So that means to say now that there's not going to be another one like them taking care of this. And so now, under these really strange circumstances, so you take the mace and you put the mace in a separate room. The imkein chalavelos al ha'avel b'stimas agola kidal kaman v'shuv lo yichol lichnos ad she'avor avelos. Because, again, this is just all halachic talk. And that is that once you do the burial, avelos now begins. Once avelos begins, You can't ignore Avelos. So what we're doing over here is that we're basically postponing Avelos. Avelos does not begin until the actual burial. So in fast forwarding now the Chasna, so what we're really looking to do now is just simply push off Avelos, because once the Avelos begins, so the Chasna cannot be done. Okay. Now, moving on in the Gemara. Now, as far as those days are concerned, meaning both sevens, the 7 days of Mishta and the 7 days of Avelos, so they're going to be separated. He's going to be sleeping with the men, she's going to be sleeping with the women. Meaning, generally speaking, when it comes to husband and wife, they sleep together. In other words, there's no Isser of Yichud when it comes to husband and wife under normal circumstances. In these unusual circumstances, so there is going to be an Isser Yichud, and therefore they're going to have to be separated. Now, the Gemara is going to clarify this point in just a bit, because why is there no Isser of Yichud between husband and wife? And the answer is because they've already been intimate with each other, and any time they're going to be apart from one another is just temporary. Meaning when she's an Ida, it's temporary separation. They know that. They're going to be able to control their Yetzer Hara, banking on the fact that they're just going to wait. And they could be together with each other in the not-so-distant future. However, over here, they're going to be separated from one another, presumably because they're newlyweds. But as we just learned together, they were actually intimate with one another. So why do they need to be separated from one another? Hold that thought, right? I'm setting us up. We're going to come back to that in just a bit. Vein monim tachshitim in a kala kol shoshim yom. And despite the fact that she's an Avel, so we do not prevent her from wearing jewelry for those first 30 days, meaning she's a newlywed, she'd like to look good for her husband, and as a result of that, even though an Avel is not to be made up, but over here, under these circumstances, she can be made up. Not so different to what we learned in Yuma, right, regarding the Kala, who has the ability to wear jewelry the beginning of her marriage, despite the fact that it's Yom Kippur. Okay. The Vidavka Aviv Shechasoni Moshekala. Now, over here, this is, we saw this in Rashi, but now the Gemara is spelling this out, is that these circumstances in which or pushing off the misa in order to have the in order to go through with the chasna, that's only upon the death of the father, the chasna, or the mother, the kala. They're like inish tarach lehu, because nobody else is going to be doing what they're doing. Aval ibcha lo, but not the opposite. If the mother of the chasna or the father of the kala, so we then what we're going to do is we'll just simply push everything off, because we can just simply pick it up after the avelos. Amrav from Rapapa, Amrav Chesel Oshanel Oshan Asamayim, Agabe Basar, Avalon Asamayim, Agabe Basar, Mizdabein. So the Gemara now just spends a moment talking about what it means when we say that we're looking at financial loss, meaning something is irreplaceable. So, for example, we said that if the meat was shechted, so that's irreplaceable. So, on that, the Gemara just throws in the following detail, and that is where we didn't put water on the meat. But if we did not put water on the meat, so then we're fine. What does that mean? You're fine? Water on the meat? What's going on over here? So first of all, I'm not really sure what's going on over here in terms of water on the meat. It's some sort of final stage of preparation for the meat. Okay. It happens to be I grill. I don't fully understand. But it doesn't matter. The point is as follows, is that when you shecht an animal, so what you could do with the meat is that you could sell the meat. In other words, what's the problem right now? Meaning what's driving the halacha? What's driving the halacha is financial loss. Okay. Meaning, obviously, there's a limit to where financial loss is going to drive a halacha, but hefsed mamon is absolutely a value, right? You learn Shulchan Aruch, you learn Yoredeya, you're going to see that where there's a flexibility in the halacha, where the halacha can bend a little bit, and there's a financial loss at stake, so therefore, you take financial loss into consideration. So over here, we're looking at financial loss. So so what the Gemara is just simply pointing out is that if let's say the animals were shechted and you have the meat, but you could sell the meat, so then we're not looking about financial loss. Because then what you'll sell the meat, and then when avelos is over, you'll do this again. With what money? The money that you gained from selling the meat. Okay. So, and for reasons which I don't really understand, but once you put water on the meat, so then the meat no longer is sellable. Okay. Now, if you're living in a big city, all meats are sellable, meaning you have so many people, there's so much traffic. So even though you put water on the meat, and I get the basic idea, meaning in its window and its expiration date now is really small, but you'll find people that are going to buy meat in a big city. So now Rapapa says, now, let's say you're in a really small town. Okay, you're out of town. Okay, not like here in South Florida, by the way. This is like a fake out of town, right? Mm-hmm. We're not really. We have restaurants to choose from where to eat. So it's not exactly out of town. But my son just spent Shabbos in Kansas City. So if we're talking about like really out of town, if you're in a kfar, so there where you shecht an animal. And what? And you're going to find people to buy meat after you shech the animal? You're not going to find anyone to buy meat after you shech the animal. So then, under those circumstances, then we're back to financial loss. So, okay, so where's the sweet spot? Meaning, in an out-of-town place, you're always looking at financial loss. In a big city, you're never looking at financial loss. So this idea that Rav Chista said, that there's a distinction between where you put water on the meat, where you didn't put water on the meat, what is he talking about? So Amar Rav Ashi could go Masa Mechasya de Mafka Mikrachu Mafka Mikfar. So the Gemara says, okay. So in other words, we're basically talking about a place that's not in town, not a place out of town. In other words, a town somewhere in between. You know, like Masa Mechasya. Okay. Now I don't know because never visited it. Certainly not in its heyday. But anyway, I get the basic idea. It's a town that's somewhere between a really big town and a really small town. Tanya Kavasi de Rav Chista. Here we go. Another brisa supporting this. Hareshaya pito afuya v'tavcha tavoch v'yena mazog v'nasamayin agabe basar u'meisav v'shachasan u'yema shakala machnisan tzameisa cheder v'shachasan v'shakala l'chopa u'bolo b'elas mitzvah u'paresh v'noig shivas yimei mishav v'achar kach noig shivas yimei avelus. Now, I'm not translating any of this because basically it's a repeat of everything we saw on the earlier brisa, almost word for word. V'chol osin yamim hu yashem ben anashim v'yisho yashena ben anashim. And they're going to be sleeping separately. V'chein Misha Pirsa Ishto Nida, Hu Yashamein Anisha Anashim, He Shenabein Anashim. Same thing, if the wife is a Nida, they're going to be sleeping separately. Again, we're going to clarify that point in just a moment. The Ein Monin Tachshitim and Akala Kolam Yom, and she's going to be able to wear jewelry for the first 30 days of marriage. Again, information we know already. And the Bia should not be occurring not on Erev Shabbos and not on Motzei Shabbos. Okay. Anyway, what comes out over here is that the Braisa is just corroborating what we saw earlier regarding the idea that if we're looking at financial loss, so then we're going to go through with it. Okay. The last point of not having Bia neither on Friday night or on Motzei Shabbos, a point which we touched on yesterday, but that's going to be discussed in much greater detail in just a couple days from now in Daf Vav. Anyway, Amar, Hu Yasham Bein Anashim V'Hi Yishena Bein Anashim. Okay, so one of the things that's clear is that he's going to be sleeping with the men, she'll be sleeping with the women. So Mesayel L'Rav Yochanan, Amar Rav Yochanan, Afa Pisham Ein Avelos B'Moed, Aval Dvarim Shel Sina Noe. So this is going to support Rav Yochanan. Rav Yochanan says that there's no Avelos on Moed, but Dvarim Shel Sina Noe. Now, what does this mean? So the 7 days of Mishta for Chasan and Kala, what you and I call Sheva Brachas, okay? So those are like a Yantav. Not exactly the same, but they're like Yantav. In other words, Yantav typically 7 days. Sheva Brachas is 7 days. Yantav are days of joy. Sheva Brachas are days of joy, okay? Once you start Yantav, so then you don't interrupt for Avelos, right? We all know this. Okay. Now, what I'm not discussing right now is where the Avelos started before Yontif. We're not discussing that. The Avelos starts before Yontif, so then what Yontif does is Yontif is going to interrupt the Avelos. Actually, Yontif could put an end to the Avelos, but that's not what we're talking about. We're talking about once Yontif starts, so at that point in time, it doesn't stop for Avelos. Rachmanis, if let's say somebody dies over the course of Yontif, so we all know the halacha, you bury, right? On Yontif itself, the Gemara in Beitza discusses what exactly you do. From our standpoint, we don't bury on Yontif itself. Chol HaMoed, you bury. Okay, fine. That we all know. What about Avelos? Avelos does not begin. Avelos will not begin until Yontif is over. Okay, and if I could just treat everybody here to halacha, unfortunately, some know this already, and that is that after Yontif is over, the Avelos begins. Actually, the first day of Avelos begins on Yontif Sheni, here in Golos. Okay. It can get a little bit confusing. We don't have to get involved in that right now. Anyway, but the larger point is that Avelos will not be starting in Yontif. Same thing with Sheva Brachos. Meaning, once you start Sheva Brachos, Avelos does not begin. Which goes back and explains what we learned earlier this morning. Meaning that because they got married, and now because they started their Sheva Brachos, meaning the marriage is the beginning of Sheva Brachos, so now Avelos is going to be postponed until after Sheva Brachos is over. Now, No, I'm sorry. I wasn't clear about that, and that's a great question. They bury the body right after the Chasna. No different than Yontif, meaning at the first opportunity, you bury the body. But Avelos is not going to be observed until after the week is over. Okay, I really appreciate it, by the way. That was a really excellent point to clarify. So if Rachmanis, you lose a Karov during Yontif, so there's no Avelos. And Avelos will be pushed off until after Yontif. Now, our Gemara is teaching us, this is a dinner of Yochanan, Ein Avelos B'Moed, Aval Dvarim Shel Sina Noeg. Private matters are going to be observed during those days. Meaning, even though you're not in Avel, but you're still going to be observing what's called Dvarim Shel Sina. In other words, intimacy between husband and wife, which is prohibited during Avelos, so that you can't do during Yontif. In other words, even though it's pre-Avelos. So if you can, it's an expression I came up with, you don't have to love it, but it's pre-Avelos Avelos. In other words, even though you're not an Avel per se, but because you lost a Karov, and because you did the burial, so you're in this pre-Avelos. And so what does that mean? So our Gemara says is that you're noeg dvarim shabbat sinna. Okay. There's a Rambam that needs more clarification. Again, it's a daf and I'm looking at the time and we're going to bypass the discussion that really needs to be had over here regarding the sheet of the Rambam. Anyway, so the same thing could be said over here. meaning that as far as this husband and wife are concerned, so the reason why they're going to be separated is because even though Avelus does not officially start, but once again, pre-Avelus. So they know that Avelus is upcoming. They already buried the body, but because of their personal yontiv, so Avelus formal doesn't start, but still, they're in this pre-Avelus, therefore, Dvarim Shebet Sina. Therefore, they're going to be separated. Rav Yosef darshan the following. Darshaning over here, meaning that he broadcasted the following halacha. When does husband and wife need to be separated? That's when they didn't have bia. But if they did have bia, then they don't need to be separated. So the Gemara says, so the Gemara says, okay, I'm certainly confused. Because over here, I'm following the events over here of this really tragic scenario in which they had bia and they were separated. So what are you telling me? You're telling me that once they have bia, so they don't need to be separated. Because again, going back to what I explained earlier, in other words, they were already intimate with one another. They're not allowed to be with one another. Yeah, but that's temporary, and they can put some sort of rein, some sort of collar on their Yetzirah. But but if they were never together, so the Yetzer is going to be really strong, and so that's why they have to be separated. Over here, they were intimate with one another. So why do they have to be separated? So ki kamar apir seishtonida. So the Gemara says, okay, so what we could suggest is as follows. The separation between husband and wife is talking about where she was a nida, meaning where they never consummated the marriage. Ha v'chein ketani. So the Gemara says, yeah, But that it's hard to read that in the Braisa, because the Braisa says, and similarly, it sounds like the two cases are the same. So Hachi Kamar. So the Gemara says this is what it means. We are now on the top of Dal Amud Beis. The V'chein Misha Pirsa Ishtanida V'lo Baal Hu Yashamein Anashim V'Ishto Yishena Bein Anashim. So in other words, even though the Braisa says the words V'chein, they're not the same case. Meaning, in the case of husband and wife, where they were intimate with one another, and then they're going to be separated. So it's true they're going to be separated, but they don't have to sleep in separate rooms because again they already were intimate with one another. Masha and Cain, if they were never intimate with one another, so then they're going to have to be separated. So the lamemar davel skil leminida. So the Gemara says okay. So let's see if we understand this well. Let's see if we understand this well. So when it comes to husband and wife being anida, when it comes to the wife being anida, and now a question of whether or not he's going to be tempted by being with anida. So the assumption is that if they had relations just one time, so then they are not they're not going to be tempted. Otherwise, they have to be separated. But in other words, but nida is such a serious avera that really, aside from the one case where they were never together, so basically he's going to be able to put his yetzer in check, knowing how serious and severe the isser of nida is. Meaning, it's kares, it's an isser kares, and so we understand that. But when it comes to avelos, the prohibition of a husband and wife being together when either he or she is an avo, what kind of prohibition are we talking about? It's an issur derabbanan, it's a rabbinic prohibition. There's no issur Torah at that point in time. Avelos, let's say it like this, the nihugim of avelos, the practices of avelos, and all the halachas we learned back in Moed Katan, right? If I'm not mistaken, 13 different practices that we went through in terms of avelos, right? 3 positive and 10 negative, and of one of the 10 negative prohibitions is that they're not allowed to be one another. But when I say prohibition, we're not talking about an issur daraisa, and it's certainly not an issur kares. And so, what could be is that there is that general attitude of, look, the Yetzer Hara is really strong. The issur that we're talking about is not that severe. I don't know. So maybe there needs to be more of a more separation when it comes to avelos, and the Gemara now is exploring this very point. So Lamer David, skill lemi nida. Vahamar of Yitzhak Barchanina, Amar of Huna Komalacha, Shisha Osalabala, Nida Osalabala, Chutzmi Mizigas, the Kosva Sasamita, Varchatz Panavia de Vraglov. So the Gemara says, okay, now with that in mind, let's compare and contrast the following halachas. A woman is serving her husband, okay? And the services a woman does to her husband, so we're going to be discussing it later in the Masechta. Okay, good. So we'll go through exactly what is expected of a wife to do for her husband. Good, so that is actually spelled out. However, when she's an Ida, so even though she still is going to be serving her husband, but nevertheless, intimate activities she cannot do. So she cannot, mezika sako, she can't pour him a cup of wine. It's too intimate an activity. Making the bed at Sasamita and Archatzas Panaviyada Veraglov and washing his hands, feet, and face. Okay, fine. Now, the Ilu Gabe Avelis Tanya. Now, when it comes to Avelis, what do we know? Alpha Pisha Amarina, the Marshal Lachofis Isha Leos Kochels, Leos Pokeses. So even though, when she's an Avel, so he cannot have her dress up when she's an Avel, but Be'emis Amru, Mosekas Lachosim, Atsas Lamita, Omar Chasas Lopanaviyada Veraglov. But she can do all these activities. In other words, she can still serve him, even though she's an Avel, including these intimate activities. So, where are we right now? We're a little bit confused. Meaning, we started off this discussion assuming that when it comes to the Yetzer Hara is going to be stronger by Avelis than it is by Nida. Why? Because by Nida, it's an Issur Kares. And so everyone knows the severity of being with one's wife while she's a Nida. And so therefore, people will respect Nida a little bit more than Avelis. Avelis is an Issur D'Rabbanan, and the Yetzer Hara between her husband and wife to be together is strong. And that's why when it comes to Avelis, there needs to be separation. In the case of Chasan and Kala. Fine. That's where that was our starting point. But then we took two halachas, put them side by side, and it got us to the exact opposite conclusion. When a wife is a Nida, she'll serve her husband, but not the intimate service of pouring a drink of wine and making the bed and washing his hands, feet, and face. Okay. And then when it comes to an Avel, when she's an Avel, she could do all services to her husband, including the quote unquote intimate services. Okay? That's confusing. So the lokasha come by velos ida, come by velos ida. So the Gemara says, well, it depends. It depends on whether she's an avel or he's an avel. Meaning, if she's an avel, so then she could do those services. If he's an avel, she can't do those services. Okay. Now, the obvious question: what difference does it make whether he's an avel or she's an avel? Rashi writes over here, come by velos ida, la olam avelos kila le minida. Yes. In other words, our assumption is correct. People are more lax by Avelis than they are by Nida, understanding that Nida is an Issur Kares, and Avelis is not. V'hani masis hachimetarts and hadik tanil el hu yashamein anashim v'chulei ba'avelis didei. When are we separating when he's an Avel? V'hachzeh tani mozegas lo be'avelis dida. And meanwhile, when do we say that she could be doing even the more intimate type service to her when she's a Nida? Diktani Eina de Marshalachov. Ama, when she's an Aval. Thank you. Thank you. Ama, but Avel Sida Kaiminan. Shena Rosa Lachol, Vilipkos. Vainu Taima de Mozegas, the Imis Gabri Yitzra Lav, Kevin de Avel Sidahu, Eina Shamas Lo. And Rashi over here says, now this is just a question of the dynamics of who is an Aval. Meaning, if she's an Avel, so even though, yes, it's true, there is a strong Yetzer Hara, but right now, she's in the state of mourning. And even if he attempts to violate the Isser of being with his wife while or during Avelis, but she'll put a stop to it. Meaning right now, the fact that she's an Avel, she's going to stop it with no concern whatsoever that it will lead to intimacy. On the other hand, when it comes to a man, even though he's an Avel, but this is just the nature of a Yetzer Hara but if he has an opportunity to be with his wife, and despite the fact that he's an Avel, so in other words, he may give in to temptation even more. So, this now will help us balance all the different brises, meaning where the brises were sending us in different directions. Okay, so now we're a little bit more balanced. Meaning, when do we not have to be concerned at all? And when can she even do services to him, like the more intimate services? That's when she's an aval. On the other hand, when do we go in the other direction, where we have to separate them, husband and wife? That's when he's an aval. Ah, the Gemara says, great. This is a great way to explain everything. Veha Tanya, what happened? Veha Aviv Shachasan Rima Shakala Ketani. Yeah. The problem is all this does not read well in the Brisa. Meaning, go back to the Brisa. Read the Brisa. The Brisa says if his father died or her mother died. Meaning the Brisa seems to be entertaining if either of them are an Avo. So Ki Ketani Ashara. So the Gemara says no. In other words, in terms of the separation, that's only talking about when his father died. But as far as everything else in the Brisa, there, it doesn't matter whether it was his father or her mother. So the Gemara says, is this distinction really true? Meaning there really is going to be a difference in halacha whether he's an avel or she's an avelus. So if a man's father-in-law or mother-in-law passes away, he can't force his wife to be made up. What they'll do is overturn the bed and he'll observe avelus with his wife. And if her father-in-law, her mother-in-law passes away, she can't make herself up. So, tini ba'avelus didei, hu yashan bein hanashim, v'ishto yashana bein hanashim. So the Gemara says, okay, so what we'll do is that we'll just simply insert, we'll include that when he's an avel, so they're going to separate. Ha v'chein ketani. So the Gemara says, yeah, but it says, and similarly, which makes it sound like they're on even footing with one another. So ki ketani akichova pirchus. So the Gemara says, no, that's talking, the similarity is that she can't make herself up. V'ha imo ketani. So my lav imo b'mita. Again, I'm reading the Brisa, and the Brisa says that they're together. So the Gemara says, lo, imo b'bayis. So the Gemara says, no, imo just simply means that they're in the same house together. Uchadam le rav l'chia b'rei. Rav said the following to Chia, his son, be'apa, nao gavelta. Meaning when you're with her, meaning when you're with your wife, and she is noa gavelus for her parents, and you're with her, so you're also going to be noa gavelus. Not because you're an avel, but out of respect for your wife. But when you're not with her, so you don't have to be noa gavelus. Okay. We're going to pause at this point in time. We have all rounded out to our first approach of the Brisa. Admittedly, it wasn't difficult, a lot of bumps in the road, but we're going to finish up with our first approach of the Brisa. Again, what comes out is the following. Okay, let's outline where we started today. The Brisa in yesterday's daf on Gimel Amud Beis says that if it's because of an ones, so therefore the wedding could be pushed off to Monday. So kind of the wedding could be pushed off to Tuesday, ones the wedding could be pushed off to Monday. What ones are we talking about? We gave two possibilities. The first one, Gemara was happy with. We went through it pretty quickly. And that is the first example of ones is where the army's coming into town and they don't look like they're going anywhere. And so when they're coming into town on Wednesday, so you bump up the wedding to Monday. Good. And we explained that a little bit better earlier today. The other possibility of when we're going to be moving the wedding up to Monday and it's mutter is going to be in a most unusual circumstance where everything's prepared. Meaning, remember, we're preparing for the wedding Sunday, Monday, and Tuesday. So by Monday already, everything's prepared. And then Rachmanus, a parent dies. Yeah. Right? Either his father dies or her mother dies. So under those circumstances now, even though it's Monday and even though we were planning to get married on Wednesday, nevertheless, we go through with the chasna. Okay? Why do we go through with the chasna? So the basic answer is because of hefsed. We're looking at financial loss over here. All right, if we don't do it now, so we're going to be losing everything financially. And so for financial loss, so therefore it can be pushed off. What could be pushed off? the funeral could be pushed off. Now, as we already clarified earlier today, funerals not being pushed off for a very long time, meaning they'll quickly do the chasna on Monday, and I imagine about Tuesday, or the first opportunity, but Tuesday, what they'll do is they'll do the funeral. Okay, and then, here's where it gets strange. Because they already have the chasna, so they started their sheva brachas. They're in their yontif, so to say. So for 7 days, they're going to be in that yontif. Then after yontif is over, then they're going to do avelos. So they're going to have a week of sheva brachos. They're going to have a week of avelos. Admittedly, all that's strange. These are really unusual circumstances. And then for most of today's daf, what did we litigate? We litigated whether or not they could be together there during that week of yontif. Meaning, we know as a halacha that if somebody loses a karov during yontif, so they'll do the burial and the avelos will be pushed off until after yontif. But during yontif, pre-avelos, meaning you're knowing Dvarim Shebitzina during Yantav. That's the that's what we learned B'Shem Rav Yochanan. Okay. The simile over here, so there's going to be an Isser of Tashmish with husband and wife during the Sheva Brachos. Okay. Now again, by the way, there's so much more to discuss over here, meaning typically Sheva Brachos, husband and wife are not engaging in intimacy because she bled the first night. Okay, something which we'll discuss later in the Masechta. Okay, and I know I didn't bring it up today, but fine. Anyway, and then what was a big part of today's daf, what we really spent most of our time trying to ascertain, is whether or not they actually need to be separated into two separate rooms. Are we concerned that they're going to just simply not be able to withstand the Yetzer Hara that they have? Here, by the way, I say Yetzer Hara, it's a good Yetzer Hara. Meaning the Yetzer Hara of husband and wife being together. So are they going to be able to withstand the Yetzer Hara? And then the first approach, which we just concluded, is that it will make a difference whether or not she's the Avel or he's the Avel. If she's the Avel, they could withstand the Yetzer Hara. She'll put a stop to it. If he's an Avel, so then it'll be very challenging for them to withstand the Yetzer Hara. That's the first approach that we've given. It does explain a number of brises. It helps us disparate pieces of information and help us categorize it. Okay, and that's where we got to today. Tomorrow we pick it up.